do something before Dave brings the word. Seven is a number. It's a number of real significance in Scripture. You know, it starts with 7 days of creation, and that pattern of God's perfection and completeness continues right the way through Scripture. Actually, right the way through into Revelation, if you care to look for it. It only struck me thinking about this morning, and Dave did confirm this with me this morning, but I wasn't making it up. But pretty much 7 years ago this weekend, give or take a weekend, a young man, a young man sort of came into our lives as a church family. It was in the guise of the predecessor church, as we might think of it as, so MCF Community Church. But we had an away day. And obviously, we'd been walking with Gold Hill a little bit at the time, and Brian McCarthy, if you remember, McCarthy had been working with us. And he handed over to Dave at that weekend, when we shared as a church family together at that time that God was calling that church to completeness and a finish. And we walked together, and Dave with us, into what became NCC in January 2016. So Dave's been a really significant part of our life together, in planting and nurturing and growing. Perhaps a little bit less of late, but it's still been, I think, a significant legacy for this church. And we just wanted to say thank you this morning. So we do have a little something here on behalf of the church. It's not just a card. There's a promissory note in there.
I shall frame it.
Yeah, we decided not to do the picture of the bridge. But you do need to do something, as you'll see in there. But I thought it'd be good, not just speak this morning.
Okay.
It'd be good to pray. Maybe Nat, you want to come up as well, and maybe Coral. Ken, why don't you come and join us as well? It's not that we've been pretentious enough to think we're sending you out from here. You are going to tell us, no doubt, a little bit about what lies ahead for you. But we would certainly want to send you off today with our blessings and thanks. So we can do that together. Father God, we do thank you for your completeness, for your time, your seasons. We thank you for the 7 years that we've enjoyed walking together. We thank you for the ministry that Dave has brought to us. We thank you for all that you've taught us, inspired us, and encouraged us with through him, as well as his time at Gold Hill and all he's done there. And as they move on and move away, we ask that you would continue to guide and lead them. There's still unknowns ahead, but you know, Father, you are sovereign and you are great over all situations. And we just commit them to your care, your keeping, your leading in the months and years ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. You may now bring the word.
Thank you.
As long as you tell us a bit about what's going on.
Yeah, no, I will do. And rather than try and weave it in awkwardly into the sermon, I'll just share a little bit of update from us first, and then I'll preach. I hadn't 7 years of perfection. It sounds like that's what you're saying, Mark. It's been great. So yeah, no. Completeness. Fair enough. Well, in that case, my time at Gold Hill has been over complete. I've been part of the staff team at Gold Hill for just over 10 years now, Gold Hill Baptist Church. And earlier this year, Natalie and I felt the Lord speaking quite clearly that it was time to move on. And we don't yet know where to, which is exciting. But my role, my formal role with Gold Hill finishes in 2 weeks' time at the end of this month. And we are praying and pressing into to what's next. We feel as though God's revealed certain bits and pieces to us. We've been on a bit of a journey asking people that we really trust And respect, including Ken, to sort of speak into that. We've gathered a little community around us, and that's been really, really helpful. We feel as though we've got a bit more of a shape of what it is that God's calling us to. Exactly where, exactly when. There are some potential doors to push on, but we don't know that yet. We're also having a baby, which is very exciting. So our first little one coming in February. We expect that's the plan. But before I preach, I want to thank you. I want to thank you as a church family. And it's been really, really lovely. It's been really good for me being sort of part of this church family from a distance. I want to especially thank and honour the elders, present and past, who I've had the privilege of serving with. You've seen me on Sundays every so often. Far more of what sort of I've linked has been with elders at different seasons, and indeed with Ken and with Kenneth before that. And it's, as a church, you've made it fairly easy for me. And as leaders, you've made it fairly easy for me, in that there hasn't really been a time when I've needed to step in and correct something or to say no. It's been wonderful to sort of partner and journey with great leaders leading a church with such a beautiful heart. So thank you for having me. And of course, through Ken or through Mark or through others, I'll let you know what's next when we know. But do please pray for us. We will continue to pray for you. Thank you. Yes, Richard.
Did you ever finish your garden?
Do you know what? We did. Then we let it go a little bit, but you know, nowhere near as bad as it was. I forgot. Yeah, I shared a bunch of pictures during a. There you go. Yeah, no, that lockdown project has gone well. So we've got a lot nicer of a garden than we did before. Thanks for remembering. That's very kind. Let me pray, and then we'll open God's word together. Lord God, I thank you for this church family. Thank you for their past. Thank you for their present. Thank you for their future. Thank you that you have held and will hold all of those things. Thank you for Ken and his leadership. Thank you for what he brings. And I ask that you would continue to give vision and excitement for what comes next. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So this week, as I was praying about what I would share, I felt the Lord lead me to a passage near the beginning of the book of Acts. So if you've got a Bible, a physical one or a digital one, feel free to grab it. We're looking at Acts chapter 3 and the first 10 verses. Acts chapter 3, the first 10 verses. Quite a famous passage. You may well have interacted with it many times before. You may not have done. Both of those are good options. So I'm going to read, and then I want to share three things. I want to share something around needs that we might have. I want to share something around new life and what it can do. And I want to share something around noticing. Needs, new life, and noticing. So Acts chapter 3, and starting at verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So much great stuff that we could draw from this passage, from this text. Like I said, I want to share around three things: needs, new life, and noticing. Is there someone that could get me a glass of water?
Yep.
Thank you, Kat. That's very kind of you. I should have thought about it beforehand, but I didn't. Needs. This man in this story, he has needs. In fact, I see three different types of needs that he has. I see a financial need. That's what he asks for, isn't it? He asks for money. He says, can you give me some money? And Peter and John end up saying to him, silver and gold isn't what we're going to give you. We're going to give you something else. But his need, or at least the need that he is most immediately aware of, is financial. Feels quite timely to be talking about that at the minute. Flick on the news, and it's all anyone's talking about is money. Is whether we're going to have enough money to get through the winter, is cost of living, is the people who are managing or mismanaging our money as a nation. It's all money, 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 and there's a lot of fear, a lot of concern, a lot of difficulty around. And it's not just out there, I'm sure that many of us are thinking, what are we going to do? What's going to happen? There is financial need that this man has. But that's not the only kind of need. Thank you very, very much, that's very kind. It's not the only kind of need that he has, is it? Because he also has some particular personal needs. He is lame. He cannot walk. He's got presumably good friends who carry him in on their way into the temple to pray. They carry him, they bring him, they place him down so that he can seek to beg in order to meet his financial needs. So his physical needs are getting in the way of him being able to work, getting in the way of him being able to earn. So they're linked. The different needs that we have in our life, often they're linked with one another. But he's got these financial needs that he's really, really aware of and that he's trying to do something about. Then he's got his personal particular needs, which for him are around his disability. For us, it might be around all kinds of different things. Maybe it's around leaves in a drain. Maybe it's around physical needs, like a back that's got shot that's stopping us from running around and doing things. Maybe it's about PE lessons and who we're going to be partnered up with. We all have different needs in our lives. There are different things that are going on. But there's another need that we see in these first few verses, which is maybe a little bit more hidden, because Peter and John are going into the temple. They're going in to worship. They're going in to pray. They're going in because they're Jewish men. They're going into the temple to, in some way, meet with God. They're joining with others to do what they do. This man's friends, they are coming into the temple to pray, to worship God, to connect with him, and leaving him at the side because he can't enter. He's not allowed into the temple. Some of you might be aware, but the temple system was very strict and very structured, and depending on who you were and what you were like and different things, male, female, Jewish, Gentile, and able-bodied or disabled, you were or weren't allowed into certain areas. So he had to stop at this gate while everyone else could go in to meet with God. He had a spiritual need to become closer to God because there was something that was holding him back, and all of these needs are intertwined. His physical needs, his personal needs, are stopping him from earning, but they're also stopping him from going in to meet with God. And he was seen as someone who just couldn't get close to God. That's what he would have felt. That's what he would have known. So he has these big needs, these different levels of need going on in his life. And actually, as we see, after he is healed, all of them are met. He's healed, which means that his personal, particular, physical needs, they're dealt with. They're gone. He's no longer disabled. He can walk. In fact, he can do more than walk. He can walk and he can jump around as he goes into the temple. God is in the business of healing today. He is in the business of restoring our lives. He's in the business of meeting the needs that we have. We shouldn't overlook that. This man had a particular set of needs. And God, through his servants, through Peter and John, met those needs in abundance. Completely turned them around. What is it that you need? What is it that you need God to do? But maybe more than that, or at least alongside that, what is it that those around you need God to do? We can personalize this passage. We can put ourselves in the position of this lame beggar. And say, what is it that I need God to do for me? But we can also put ourselves in the shoes or the sandals of Peter and John and say, who is it, what is it that we need to spot? We'll come back to that thought in a moment. So he's met. His physical needs are met. Through that, his financial needs will be met as well. No longer would he need to beg. Now he could work. He could join a trade. He could start to earn. God does care about our financial needs. I want to suggest that actually of the three needs that this man had, it was his least need. It was the lowest priority. For him, it was the biggest dream he could think of was that people might give him money. That was what he was asking for. That was the only need that he thought might be met that day. That day, as he went out to beg, like he did every single day at the times when people would be going into the temple, the biggest sort of thing that he could imagine is that he might go home with a few more coins, that he might actually have his financial needs met. I wonder how many of us, or how many of those we know, have got sucked into this idea that as long as we can make it through the winter and still be in the black instead of in the red, then we'll be fine. So long as we can manage to make ends meet, then we're doing okay. I see it quite a lot. People who actually, we've lowered the bar of what it means to live in a fulfilled way at the minute. Because money is so tight, or money is so difficult, or cost of living, or bills, or all of those things are so immediate, just making it through is enough. God has a bigger plan and a bigger vision for your life. Let's not lower ourselves to thinking so long as money is okay, then we will be okay. Where your heart is, your treasure will be also. Isn't what Jesus says. What he says is where your treasure is, your heart will be also. What we choose to treasure will be where our heart ends up. If we choose to spend all of our time and our focus and our energy treasuring financial stability, that will be what our heart ends up being locked into. God has a bigger plan, a bigger picture for our lives. So he meets his financial needs, he meets his physical needs, but in so doing, he also meets his spiritual needs. This man who every single day was dumped at the entrance to the temple because he couldn't go in. The last we hear of him is that he is running in, jumping in, praising God as he goes. He no longer has to stay far from God. He can be drawn in near. And in this, we see a picture of what it is that God can do and wants to do in each of our lives. To make us from someone who cannot enter his presence to someone who can. And how do we get there? Well, silver or gold I do not have. You can't buy your way in. There'll come a point when your money is pointless, when your bank account, when your resources are worth nothing. What turns it around? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. That's who we need. These different needs, financial, physical, spiritual, ultimately they are all met in Jesus Christ. This man had them the wrong way round. His biggest dream was for his least need. What he really needed was spiritual healing, access to the Father. And in Jesus, we see that he receives this. And you get to hear a little bit more about his story if you carry on reading. But we're not going to do that today. So when we think about the needs in our life, let's try and get them in the right order and let's bring them all to God. That's what I want to say about the needs that we have. Let's recognize them. Let's identify them. But let's also do that as we look at other people and not think, oh, if only they could get their marriage or their kids or their schooling or their education or their job or their whatever right, then they'd be okay. No, they need Jesus. We all need Jesus. That's needs. I said I wanted to talk about new life because this man is given new life. He's given new life financially, spiritually, and physically, and it's noticed. People spot it when, in verse 9, when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. When someone receives new life from Jesus, it is an amazing thing to behold. Sometimes we can think that it doesn't look that amazing. Sometimes we can think, oh, my testimony is a bit boring. I don't have a particularly exciting story. This is what the New Testament says. This is what the Bible says is your story if you've met Jesus. If in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you have been given new life, then you used to be dead and now you're alive. You used to be blind and now you can see. You used to be lost, now you can find. You used to be poor and now you are rich. You used to be fatherless. Now you're a child of God. That's what the Bible, that's the language the Bible uses. Let's not use the language of, well, I grew up in a Christian family and my life's been fairly normal ever since. Like, there's something deeper that's gone on inside of us. This man knew it. And people could see it about him. Yes, they could see the miracle. They could see the restored life. But they would also see that he used to go from begging and being in need to then praising and worshipping God. It wasn't just a change in his circumstances. It resulted in a change of his heart. And there's a specific encouragement I feel I want to give, maybe just for a couple of people today, I don't know. But to let people see that. And particularly, it can be that when we have turned and believed in Jesus, when he has given us new life, when we've been restored, we can then feel incredibly different from certain people in our lives who knew us before that. Because we're different. And they stayed the same. Because Jesus has changed our life and their life is still ticking along the way it would have done in our life if Jesus hadn't intervened. And because of that difference, it can become difficult. We don't like the things we used to like. We don't do the things we used to do. It can be harder. Don't rob those people of the opportunity to see the difference that Jesus has made in your life. If there are people in your life, specifically family, friends, colleagues, who you find yourself withdrawing from because they're not like you anymore, or rather you're not like them anymore, don't. Stay close. Keep up the friendship. Make the phone call. Go to the meal. Have a coffee, whatever it is, because the difference that Jesus has made in your life, the new life that you have, is worth them seeing. And that's where we come on to the final thing about noticing. There's two different kinds of noticing that I see in this passage. The first is that Peter and John notice the man. And the second is that the man is told. He's almost commanded to notice them. They notice him. They would have seen him many, many times. I don't know whether they noticed him before or not. They may well not have done. They may have recognized him. You know, people clearly recognized him because in verse 10, they recognized this man after he'd been healed as the same one that they'd seen every single day as they'd gone in. So he's clearly, you know, part of the furniture. People who are part of the furniture in our lives, we can then overlook. We can miss out on them. Oh, we see them every day. Sit next to them at work. See them at the school gates. Say hello to them as we're walking past on the street. We don't really notice them. For whatever reason, on this particular day, Peter and John noticed this man. I mean, they were asking him, he was asking them for money. So of course they're going to notice that, but they could just ignore and walk on by. But no, he noticed them. Maybe we need to commit to God today that we'll notice people, that we'll choose to spot people, that we'll not just walk by. Who is it that you've just got into the habit of ignoring or of giving short shrift to sort of a wave and a nod, but not really noticing anything deeper than that? Because if they just walked on by, or if they just sort of chucked a couple of coins to him and moved on by, then all they would have been noticing was his financial need. But as we've already seen, there's a far deeper need that Jesus also wanted to meet, his spiritual need and his personal specific needs. But because they noticed him, they took the time and they were able to meet those things. People won't always tell us what they actually need from us. Sometimes we need to notice and take the time and listen. But there's another bit of noticing that goes on, because Peter and John are pretty bold. They don't just say, hiya, go walk. No. Verse 4, Peter looked straight at him, as did John. That's the noticing. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Maybe he was just expecting the money, probably at this point. That's all he could imagine that they might give. But notice that Peter and John, they demand that level of attention. I was speaking last week at Gold Hill's youth congregation. And it was really cool. There's some really, anyway, that's another thing. But I believe that there were some really important things that that God wanted me to share with them. But I also knew that all of them had a mobile phone And just like me, they're addicted to it. All of us, let's be honest, most of us are addicted to our mobile phone in one degree or another. I won't point out the person who just nudged someone else in the room. But they've grown up around it, and the natural way for them to listen to someone is like this. And I asked them not to, and I felt a little bit rude. But I said to them, look, for the next 10 minutes, I think there's some things that God really wants to say to you, so could I ask you to do one of two things? Either put your phone down and listen, or make me a TikTok sensation overnight. And none of them thought the second bit was actually going to happen. So they put their phones away. But the truth is, I wanted them to listen because I thought there was something important to say. I'm not normally that bold. I'm not normally that directive. Listen if you want, but by all means, if you've got better things to do. Peter and John don't have that attitude. Look at us. They knew that this man, he could keep looking around at everyone else, thinking, yeah, I might get some coin thrown at me. I might get some money today. They knew that only they and other followers of Jesus had what he really needed. So he was saying, stop looking around at everyone else. Look at us, because we have what you need. That is not a very British thing to do. I'm aware that not everyone in the room is British, but for those of us who are, and those who aren't, let's not be reserved and retired and shy about the one thing that everyone in this world needs. Let's not be rude, but let's be clear. Let's find ways in our own life to say, look at us. Maybe that means inviting people into your home so that they can take some time and see the difference in the way that you live. Maybe that means in a conversation saying to someone, can I stop you for a moment? Because you're sharing so many things about how hard life is. Can I tell you that I think I know the answer? And I'd like to introduce you to him. That's maybe bold. What's the worst that can happen? They'll tell you to go away? All right. But Peter and John knew that they had something that was worth giving away. And they had the boldness and the courage to say, look at us, instead of looking around everywhere else, to people who are currently addicted to the news. Who's going to be the Chancellor next month? I've had one a month for four. As if that's going to be the answer. As if a new plan, a new strategy, a new tax system, a new prime minister is actually going to be the answer. No, turn off the TV. Stop scrolling through BBC News or Twitter or wherever it is you get your up-to-the-date information. And look at us, the children of the living God. Silver and gold, economic strategy, political clout, we may have not. But in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he wants to set you free. As the beggar today, let's make sure we don't miss what Jesus really wants to do in our life. If you've set your sights too low, lift them up again to Jesus. And as Peter's and John's, let's notice others. And let's call them to notice us and the new life that God has given us. Let me pray. Lord God, I thank you that you change us, that you transform us, that you are mighty, that there is no ailment, there is no debt, there is no distance from you that is so great that you can't meet it in a moment. So we submit ourselves to you. Would you show us what our greatest needs are? And then would you meet them? And would you give us spiritual eyes to see and to notice others? And would you give us spiritual courage and discernment to be able to say, look at us, notice us. And then as you do that, look past us to Jesus who has changed us. So I pray that you would fill us up and you would send us out in the name of Jesus and the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.